Hello, and welcome to Why Did I Keep This? A podcast about the things that have been living in the back of our closets and why it's so hard for us to let them go. Please join us as we examine our relationships with stuff and potentially convince each other to say goodbye to excess baggage. Or maybe we'll encourage each other to just keep everything forever. Let's find out. We are your hosts. I am Courtney Vinaise, a Los Angeles-based actor and video game streamer with a passion for thrifting and a distaste for waste.
And I'm Jackie Glick, a producer living in LA who is an avid window shopper and a sentimental saver.
Together, we are the Closeteers on a journey through time and space. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, Courtney. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We've had such a good third season. We did it. We have a third season of a podcast.
I know. We're basically the most professional people I know.
Oh, man. So productive. So girl boss.
Yeah. Although, as we learned a few episodes ago, that's quite choogy to say.
It's so choogy. So. It's very choogy. I was trying to say it ironically, but it came out very earnestly.
It did come out really earnestly.
I
want our viewers to know that we don't consider ourselves girl boss.
Oh, no. I think anyone who's met me knows I am very not a girl boss. Between my ADHD, between the fact that I'm sweating in a closet right now wearing workout shorts and a t-shirt, the fact that I love to sleep. I love an afternoon nap. I think that automatically disqualifies me from a girl boss.
Sure. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
How are you, though? How's it going? How's your closet? How's your life?
Man.
Season three.
Oh, man. Closet is good, but I've hit a bit of a speed bump because I'm actually kind of trying, you know, to do the acting thing, which means I got to go on auditions or I have to submit self-tapes, which means you got to, like, look like a character sometimes, or like look a certain way or wear a certain thing. And that means I should probably have stuff for that.
Oh, you need like a costume trunk.
Yeah, kind of a little bit costumey, but also it's just like maybe I should just make sure I have like colorful shirts, you know?
Sure.
A bunch of things that I think I started to get rid of.
Interesting.
So I'm sort of putting a pause on getting rid of stuff and thinking, is this something I could potentially use in an audition? Like, so yeah, it's, I very badly wanted to just be like, maybe I'll just be someone with like a bunch of white t-shirts. I won't have any t-shirts, you know, except for like a bunch of white t-shirts. Just like a really getting closer to that capsule closet we talked about first season. But, maybe my go-to closet can be that, and I'll have to have like a separate closet for like my acting closet or my sketch closet or my character closet.
But you're great in color. I mean, I wouldn't get rid of everything colorful.
Hey, thank you. I do love color, but man, I've just really been loving a white t-shirt with jeans. Just classic. You can dress it up. You can dress it down. Oh my God. If you throw in nail polish with that, get out of here.
Nail polish.
I know. I bought some black nail polish recently. It felt very edgy.
Very cool. Very cool stuff. I've been doing a no manicure manicure where you just paint your nails like milky see-through.
I love it. I love that. I think that's great. I'm trying not to bite my nails. I'm trying not to. It's tough. Sometimes I do a good job and then sometimes I just fall back into it and I bite my nails. So right now I'm keeping them very short, trying not to bite them, but it's hard. It's hard. It's a hard habit to break. What about you? How's your life? How is your closet? How are your dreams? Yeah.
Thank you. Everything is fine. Everything's great. You know how in a TV show, like the difference between season one and season two on a network show in the 90s was that everybody had their teeth straightened and whitened and their hair was better in season two. And it was like all of a sudden they had like a trainer and they had like facials all the time. And like, there's a dramatic difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I was hoping that would be this way in my closet, that like season one, it was kind of like full of stuff. And then season two would be like magic, but you know, it's still full of stuff, but it's still pretty okay.
It's a work in progress. Fine. It's a work in progress. Maybe it just doesn't feel that way because, I mean, there was no before and after picture. It didn't help that you moved halfway through. We should have gotten.
Well, maybe it did help that I moved. But, you know, I think my closet's doing really well. And as I've been talking about a lot in this season, I've been selling all of my belongings on Poshmark, and I haven't sold anything for like 2 weeks, and it's really chasing a high. I was doing so well for a minute. I just kept selling stuff, and now nothing is sold, and it's a trying time. I just like want people to buy my stuff. It's my favorite feeling now.
Isn't it great? Isn't it a great feeling? It's so validating, and you were like, one, you're basically being told like, you've got good taste. You have cool stuff. And two, you're getting – someone's paying you for your cool stuff. Oh, man, I get it. I get it. That's how I am with Crossroads, and that's how I want to be with Depop. But I just haven't – I haven't been good about taking pictures and posting them. It's very funny. I keep this bullet journal where I keep track of my, like, to-do lists, my daily lists, my monthly goals, this and that. And I've been doing that since April. And my April – even on my April calendar, on my like May calendar, like my goals of things I want to do, I keep listing, list stuff on Depop. And I just keep migrating it to the next
one. You got
to
get in.
I know. You got to get into it. I was good.
Now that I'm doing it like every time I think of something that I want to get rid of, I do it immediately, post it and see what happens. It's kind of like a science experiment because you have no control, but it's kind of exciting.
We're basically scientists. We will take our BSs. If everyone could just give us an honorary BS for this science experiment we're conducting, I'd be grateful.
Poshmark for science.
Yeah, I majored in Depop. Jackie, I did bring something to this episode. I know this season we haven't really been evaluating ourselves as much. You know, we've been doing a lot of interviews, and we've been really getting by
without talking about our own.
I know there hasn't been a lot of self-reflection, which, you know, it's important, but it felt good to avoid for a little bit. And I was going through my little, like, I have a drawer of art stuff. It's where I keep, you know, my paint and some like construction paper, my hot glue gun. And I found something that did not belong there. It's a notebook. Mm-hmm. It's my statistics notebook from college. More specifically, it's my Econ 15A notebook. And it's got all of my stats notes for that class. It took me a long time, but I got rid of all of my college textbooks for the most part. If it was like a novel or like a fun piece of literature, I probably kept it. But if it was like a big honking textbook, mm-hmm, I eventually got rid of it. Or I got rid of like my binders of stuff. You know, for a while I wasn't sure if I was going to go to like grad school. Mm-hmm. If I was going to – the idea of getting a master's in economics right now is very laughable to me. Very laughable. But I think the reason I really held on to this, it outlasted a lot of other ones that I thought I was going to hold on to, is just because my handwriting in this book is very good.
That's so funny.
I like the real reason I kept this is because the notes I took are very clear. My handwriting is so good. It's so consistent. I wrote the entire notebook with the same mechanical pencil. And it's Yes. And it was something I'm very – keep in mind, this is from – it's dated. I dated every single one of my lectures that I took notes on. 2008. It is from
a long time ago.
Yeah, 3/31/2008. So this is a 14-year-old notebook.
That's amazing. I used to volunteer at my university to do I used to take notes for students who either had some kind of hearing impairment or couldn't take notes or whatever. I don't know what their situation
was. I had the same job. I did that too.
And my penmanship was exceptional in those classes, and I still have them too.
Oh my gosh. Jackie, I can't believe we've never discussed this. I love that. It was a really fun job. I got to do that also. It was for a calculus class that I was in. And I was like basically assigned a student who had a learning disability. And yeah, I took notes for them. And then I like if they raised their hand and asked a question or if they seemed stuck on a point, I like made a note of that. And then I reviewed it with them afterward. And it was great. And also I remember my handwriting being very good in that. Usually for myself, my handwriting is absolute garbage.
There's a lot of control when it's for someone else. We used to have carbon paper, you know, and then you would give them the carbon paper at the end of the class. So you had this special paper that you got from student services that they would deliver to you, and you would write all of your notes, and then you'd separate the pages and give them to someone else.
That's amazing. I didn't get that. Or maybe
it's pretty high tech. I mean, it's pretty high tech.
Well, to be fair, I wasn't taking the class at that point in time, so I guess I didn't need
the notes for
myself.
You only could do it. I don't know if you only could do it, but you did it if you were asked to do it by the teacher at the beginning of the class saying that somebody needed it and mm-hmm. would anyone not volunteer? And then it was in classes that you were in because everyone's already taking notes, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't learn anything new. I didn't volunteer for that, evidently.
Yeah, no, I had done well in calculus, and then my professor recommended
Who are you?
I know,
you
right?
Well in calculus.
Oh my God.
I certainly
nerds. Look, I already talked about how I still have my graphing calculator, which again, That's I don't true. Think I've used since this class.
The only thing I know about calculus is that the limit does not exist.
Do you know that from Mean Girls? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I took calculus in high school to prep myself to take calculus in university. And in high school, I was like, I don't think so. So I took like the history of science or something, and that counted.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh. I guess I did get a use out of calculus because I do like.
Did you?
I did because.
What does it even mean? What is it even for?
Oh, sorry. No. Not applying the calculus so much as like, hey, I took this calculus class so I can be a note taker. And I also worked in at a junior college as the as a math tutor. Well, as a tutor for a couple different subjects, but I was a math tutor, and so I tutored calculus and a bunch of other maths. So
I'm actually having a moment where I don't know what that. Practical application of calculus is. Do you?
It's rates of change. Yeah.
For what?
So it, like
what
accelerating. If something, if like a car is accelerating, you're getting like velocity out of
and
it.
And you need calculus to understand
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
It's a rate of change. I know. Also, like you can use it to measure volumes of things.
I've never had to do any of those things, and that's probably why.
I mean, for you, you can just use a measuring cup to measure your volumes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Or a scale sometimes if I'm feeling very science.
If you're feeling, I guess, kind of European. Metric, British. Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you, a little European.
Yeah. So this notebook, I'm really proud of it. I'm going to keep it. At this point, I've kept it so long. It's just another notebook. It's, but
as you know what notebooks I have a hard time getting through? Rid of our old like work notebooks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like the handwritten notes I take when I'm on a call, or like the handwritten notes I take when I'm like, oh, you have to do all of these things in a day, like edit the podcast or do the podcast, you know, those kinds of things. I have notebooks and notebooks and notebooks filled with to-do lists and like little notes to myself. And I don't know if I'll ever need them because sometimes I write down phone numbers in my notebook. Like an idiot.
Uh-huh. No, I get that. I also have, to be fair, I do also have a bunch of little notebooks with kind of the same scratches in them. A note or a doodle or a phone number in them. And yeah, I have a ton of them. And because they don't take up space, I guess I'm just not going to get rid of them. Maybe in like 10 years, I'll look at them and be like, okay, I can finally toss this. But
I have a box of files in my closet that I go through and I'm like, I don't think I need any of these anymore, but I'm just not sure.
Same way. Same. I'm the same way. I think I've taken a bunch of them out of my immediate filing cabinet and I just have them in boxes where it's like, okay, I still have them. So if I do have that emergency of like, we need to know something about your taxes from 15 years ago, I have it. But, you know, I know I don't need to access them. I was basically just like opening up my file cabinet a lot recently, and it's just a pain to try and like go through a file cabinet that's just like filled with stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's all so annoying. Yeah, I mean, I guess keep your calculus or your econ notebook.
And this was, my Econ 15A Statistics from UC Irvine, 2008.
I mean, it sounds so boring to me. I threw it away.
Oh, it wasn't like a good class that I remembered. It wasn't like, I don't know. Like fully the only reason I kept this is because my handwriting is so good. It's such good handwriting. It's such good. Like, I almost want someone to be like, oh, shoot, I wish I could look at someone's statistic notes. And I would be like, right. Oh, I can help you.
I just don't feel like that's going to happen for
it
you.
It might, though. What a
it
dream.
It probably won't.
Okay.
Talk about stuff like this, though, if anyone out there needs it.
If anyone out there needs it, let me know. You can't have it, but I'll send you pictures of it. I'll scan it.
I mean, look, when we have people on the podcast and when you're speaking about this like very specific random economy notebook or stats notebook, it really is so wild the things that people have in the back of their closets. Like, this podcast is so relatable because everyone who's come on the podcast has so much stuff and like post-it notes from a job 10 jobs ago or, you know, like hats that they've never worn or their heirlooms from their family or, you know, all these like random things. And it's just kind of amazing how much sentimentality we put into things like a notebook full of nice penmanship.
Yeah, really good penmanship. It's I can't like
you probably could write nicely again.
You know what? I think my handwriting has gotten better since then. Just growing up, I always had bad handwriting. I always had like sloppy handwriting. I wrote faster. I just wrote really fast. It was a lot of chicken scratch. I remember in school I got a lot of guff for people
a
not
lot
being able
of
to,
guff.
A lot of guff for people not being able to read what I wrote and everything.
Maybe you should have been a doctor.
You know what? That's it. That's what I should have done. Look, I already took the calculus. What else is left? An anatomy class here and there. Shoot. I could be making a lot more money than I am right now. But nowadays, when I write in all caps locks. Caps, that's the computer term.
You
for
write
it.
Caps locks?
I write in like block uppercase letters. Like I don't really
what are
use
you
lowercase.
Yelling all the time?
I guess I'm yelling all the time, but it was just a thing I started doing because it was easier to read that handwriting and it was easier to go through my notes, and so that's just how I write now. And as an adult, I've actually gotten compliments on my handwriting.
Sometimes write in cursive.
Oh my gosh, I occasionally when I'm journaling I'm like, let's see if I can do this, and it is a struggle. It's still very fun. It's so like loopy and smooth and fun. And it hurts my hand a lot less. I will admit the way I write hurts my hand, but it looks good. So that's all that matters.
What are you doing? Like scratching it into the surface?
Yeah. No, I actually don't use a pen and paper. I just chisel it into the wall. I've been living in this dungeon for 7 years and no one has found me yet. So I started this podcast with you.
If only I could look at you. That's so wild.
I know. I know it's wild.
And I use caps locks in your hand.
I use hands caps locks.
Is there like a button that's like pressed down that you can't seem to unpress?
I know. I need someone to press the button. I've been stuck on caps locks. I'm locked on caps locks.
I don't always write cursive, but I sometimes do. But I don't typically write in caps locks unless I'm yelling at my notebook.
That's fair. My notebooks must be very afraid of me. They're probably like, she has an anger problem. Yeah. She needs to be stopped.
Somebody sees your textbooks and they're like, oh my God, Courtney's upset about this econ question.
She's mad all the time.
Well, I guess like keep it, but.
Thank you.
It's something that I would encourage you to throw away.
That's fair. I get it. I technically understand it. There's a part of my brain where I'm like, I see why I should throw it away. But there's a part of my brain that I'm like, oh, this was a turning point in my life. This was, you know, it's important.
Repenmanship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. I mean, look, you got to keep it. I actually have a few papers that I wrote back in my parents' basement because I used words that I don't even know where they came from. I like looked at one once and I was like, holy shit, I think I might have been intelligent back then.
No, I've had the same thought. I've like gone through papers that I'm like, whatever, I just threw this together the night before. I'm like, this is beautiful. I don't, I haven't
yeah, this is
thought like this, or I'm like, did I copy this? Like, did
I know.
I, like, is I don't have any. Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
I have no memory of this, and I don't know what that theory means.
Who is this little genius? And that was just, you know, what my brain is apparently capable of when it gets, I was going to say enough sleep, but I was in college, so absolutely that wasn't true.
It's more like intellectual exercise.
Yeah, exactly.
When you stop using fancy words or, like, remembering the theory mm-hmm. by that guy.
Yeah.
Man who like said something interesting once.
Yeah, when you get into the real world and life isn't just reading books and then writing papers on them, it's you know, it's harder to write and think like that.
Courtney, what were your favorite guests that we had this season? Because we had so many good people on this podcast.
Good guests. Well, first of all, I appreciate them all very much because, like we mentioned earlier, it really kept me from having to, like, look inward and look at my closet. I could kind of deflect mm-hmm. and look at other people. But, you know, I had a really great time with every single guest, and I'm so honored that they gave us their time and came mm-hmm. to chat with it. Obviously, Marissa's sock story.
And her, oh, this, so good.
Like, that's like a hall of fame, like never out of left field, never would have guessed it. Like, that's probably going to be my like anecdote whenever people, whenever I meet new people and I tell them I have a podcast and they're like, yeah. What is it about? And that's like, that's probably the anecdote I will use because it is sentimental. It is absurd. Yeah. It's perfect.
I might point to season two where Mackenzie had that sex book.
Oh my God. That's
just, my anecdote. That's it's just, still so sweet.
The fact that that isn't already a movie in development right now, the Mackenzie story.
Who do we talk to?
I know. If only someone here knew something about making a movie.
I loved the Marissa story. It was so sweet. And also, I think the Jake episode was really fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Video game stuff and yeah, role playing game
and,
stuff.
Yeah, and tabletop games. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was
We actually did the yes. a game night.
Oh my gosh.
Like after that podcast. I mean, most of the podcast is us trying to plan a game night, but we did do it. And we had Jake and his wife Katie, who was a guest in season one.
She was our very first guest.
First guest, yeah. So they came over. You came over, and obviously Akshay was here because not only
because
is
you guys are best
our
friends.
Producer, but he's also my best friend and and roommate, I guess.
Yeah,
uh-huh. But like in the same room because we're married. And we had the best time. I made a cheese board.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, I feel like maybe you asked me this question of like, who were some of your favorite guests? It's a very roundabout way to do like a little humble brag because...
That I made a cheese board?
No. That you kicked everyone's butt at game night. Jackie, yeah. Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
We played a little game called Tiny Towns and Jake did such a phenomenal job explaining it. And he came in last both times. Not because he was being nice. And Jackie swept both
I
rounds.
Just truly understood it. And actually, I did so badly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Actually, maybe did worse than Jake.
I think, and I looked at him at one point and I was like, did you not understand the rules that Jake just laid out for us?
She was very genuine when she asked it too. Like, oh, you poor thing.
I was like, I'm sorry, were you in the restroom? Like, did you miss the rules?
Oh, it was very fun. Turns out that playing board games with your friends is super fun. Maybe we should do it more.
It was fun. I had a great time.
Yeah, you had a great time. I almost, you know, we were neck and neck that second game.
Because apparently then you learned the rules.
But... Then, yeah. No. The first one was just, it's what I call a gray water run, where it's like, you got to turn the faucet on for a little bit and let the gray water come out. And then it's nice and clear and you can drink it without getting sick. So, yeah.
Is that a thing in LA? Is that
I don't think it's I think I learned it from like a country friend.
Okay. Sure, yeah. That's like rural Courtney's.
That's for my rural people. Yeah. Also, like obviously talking to Connor was wonderful. I've been on his podcast before and he's very fun to like reminisce with and he's just a real sweet human being.
And we actually went to visit him at his job.
We did. We saw him. Jackie and I went on a business date. We talked pod out in the public and we ended up
at Connor.
We saw Connor. It was really amazing. Very good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, actually, I mean, I love him in general, but I think I also loved the episode.
It's a good one.
Fun.
It's a good one. It was fun. Akshay's very personable, and he's such like a good conversationalist. But I don't really get an opportunity to turn the tables around and ask him questions about himself. Like, we put him in a dark room and turned that bright light on his face, mm-hmm. and we interrogated him, and we learned a lot. We did.
We learned a lot. But I also, like, we had so many fun guests this season. Nick Sharma, can you believe that he came on the pod?
I can, because it turns out he's the nicest person in the world. Yeah. He's so just kind and funny, and he surprised me. He surprised me a little bit, and it took every fiber of my existence not to be like a total nerd about Disney stuff with him. I thought I played it pretty cool.
I went over to his house the day before yesterday, and he had a pile of cookbooks that he was like donating. He had obviously, since our chat, had done sort of a culling of his 3,000 cookbook collection. Uh-huh. And I took two of the donation pile of cookbooks.
Yeah.
And now I have too many cookbooks. So.
Oh, well, look, just send them downstream. Send them downstream to me. I cooked recipes out of my cookbooks this weekend. I was like so inspired by that conversation. I was like, I need to like, I'd kind of fallen off mm-hmm. cooking for myself, like cooking new recipes for myself. And I pulled out like four different cookbooks from my little cookbook shelf and made some things and was real proud of myself. It feels so good. And I just love I love flipping through a cookbook. Oh, what an inspiration.
It's so good.
And he just writes them.
My main reading.
Yeah. He does. Lately, it's been my main reading too.
I was thinking about Katie's episode this weekend because I got a call from my aunt who's just moved and said that she had kept several quilts that my grandmother had sewn. And she was about to get rid of them. She's like, do you want them? So obviously I said yes.
Yeah.
And now I have grandmother heirlooms.
Yes, you do. Oh, man. Quilts are great.
My grandmother made a lot of quilts. And the duvet cover in our guest room is something that she quilted. And it's all white. And she used to make these like wildly colorful, fun, quilty quilts. And I was like, I would love it if you did one in all white for me.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. she absolutely hated it. She was like, this is the most boring thing I've ever done in my entire life, and I'll never do it again. And then my sister-in-law called and was like, I love Jackie's white quilt. Can you make me one? And my grandmother was like, oh, my God, this is brutal.
Oh,
One more. Oh. So she made this other white one. And she just stopped sewing since then, although I would really love it if
you did that to her. You made her hate quilting so much that she just quit.
It's probably my fault.
Oopsies.
It's probably my fault. But now I'm going to have some fun ones because I'm less against color than I used to be.
Look, I mean, an all-white one, that's nice. But the color is fun. It's fun.
It's like different eyelets.
Oh,
like
I love it.
Different cotton eyelets. It's uh-huh. really pretty. I mean,
I've seen it, but I haven't like looked at it. So the next time I'm over, I'm going to have to take a little peep.
Yeah, she hated making it. It makes me laugh every time I think about it. But Katie has a bunch of stuff from her grandmother's on both sides of the family that she's just like likes, but it's not really her taste. And I feel the same way about these quilts, which my grandmother knows that I just am not into the bright colored crazy stuff. But I'm going to take them because she made them.
She made them. And you love her. And honestly, like, can you use them as like on the couch, you know? Or like if you have a guest over, you have a fresh quilt ready.
We can maybe use them as like picnic.
I was going to say picnic blankets. Let's have a picnic in your backyard on the little grassy
area. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I don't have them yet, but I'll pick them up soon, and I'll send a picture to our Instagram. Maybe.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we'll post it on the Instagram. I'm so excited. Quilting is hard. You have to have like a special machine.
I don't know anything about it.
It's like you have to have a machine with like a special arm on it because there's so much fabric. I don't know.
I don't know. My grandmother used to sew all the time, but
it's a skill I've been meaning to be good at. I got myself a sewing machine 2 birthdays ago, and for a bit I went on like a little bit of a tear, but it's been in my closet for a bit.
I almost called you the other day.
Oh, you did.
we were invited to a white party.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to buy all new, like, all of my summer whites from last year, I wear natural deodorant, and they had, like, armpit areas. Yep. So I, like, couldn't wear mm-hmm. the white dresses from last summer to this, like, fancy white party. So, but I needed Jackie, something hemmed immediately.
Jackie, did you join a cult?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Thank you. No, it really did. It was a really lovely party, but it did look a little culty. It was really funny.
I could have hemmed something for you. I would have done that.
You know what? I thought of you, and then I was like, no, don't bother, Courtney. And then I ordered, you know, that like hemming tape that you can like,
oh yeah,
iron.
Oh yeah,
I used that. But I should have called you. I should have made you take it out of your closet.
You know, honestly, I would have been grateful because it is something I want to do. But I'm really trying to prioritize like my acting stuff and
sure.
streaming and this
other
includes, like
productivity areas.
Yeah.
We had a few other guests that we should mention. We had lovely Lindsay who,
oh my gosh. Yes.
Is also cutting my hair these days.
Uh-huh. My amazing stylist, who I've also since we recorded that episode, have also gotten a haircut from her and was just like, she's such a good human. And she's so insightful, and that was definitely a conversation where it was like, so we're just going to meet up for some iced tea on the patio right now?
That's what's happening? I wanted it to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she'll have to come back, and we can just keep chatting with her and be like, yeah, we're totally recording this. We're not just hanging out on a squadcast call. No.
Yeah, and also Ariel. Oh, had all those magazines.
Yes.
And all that Ariel Disney stuff. We had another Disney situation.
I honestly would have been disappointed if she didn't have Ariel stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's kind of – I was kind of hoping when she came on that would be a thing. So I'm glad that it paid off. I mean, don't get me wrong. The magazines from the early aughts were great. And as much as I don't think she should get rid of them.
But the Ariel stuff is so funny. And the Ariel toothbrushes is something I'm going to start looking for to buy her because that is just such a weird section of the collection.
It's so funny. And it was so many. There were so many.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And I want to find some that maybe are like adult toothbrush size so she can use them like mm-hmm. on trips and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. it's a dream I have for her.
Oh, yeah. For her. I have dreams for her as well. And obviously, what was I going to say?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
What were you going to say?
I don't remember. Something else about Katie, I'm sure.
Oh, Katie.
About Katie Brodnick.
She's funny.
She's so funny.
She's funny.
I just loved her episode. It was just felt like it was like we are friends forever and I've just met this person.
Yeah, she's a very warm person. And it's very fast friends with her. She's just easy to be with.
Oh, yeah. Great.
In real life, too. In real life, too. Well, I mean, it's been a hot season.
It's been a
hot. We have so many guests.
We did. I love this. This is the most social I've been since the beginning of the pandemic, where I'm like, I have all these people I've talked to in depth, and I know what's in their houses right now.
Yeah, it's true.
Or their storage units.
A real deep look. I know. Yeah, but it was so fun to hear everybody else's stuff and to pull focus away from our closets.
Yeah, exactly. Little. Look, I held myself a little bit accountable. I found this notebook. I brought a show and tell today.
I got a toaster oven like on the counter so that in the summer we don't have to like turn on the hot oven.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you used it yet?
Yeah, it's amazing. But I also have a toaster. And that's really my next big, like, how many toasters does one person need situation.
Okay, Jackie, I'm actually, I've had only a toaster oven since I moved to LA.
Mm-hmm. Do you want my toaster?
I mean, I don't think you want to get rid of your toaster because
I know. I put it in the cupboard to see if we could live without it. How much toast am I really eating? You know?
Oh, I have toast like every morning.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's such an easy, it's
but
like,
now we have like a toaster oven, you know, that toasts things really well.
Oh, okay. We're going to have to, maybe I just don't like my toaster oven because I feel like it doesn't give as good of a toast on my toast. Mm,
interesting.
It's great for other things. Like, I need it for other things. But part of me – I mean, I refuse – like, I'm just like, no, I'm not going to go buy a toaster. I have a toaster oven. But it doesn't mean I'm happy about it. Like, I want a toaster. I just don't want to buy it or store it.
Yeah. Look, it's tricky. It's tricky. If you have a toaster oven and a toaster and an oven, what is your life? How much bread are you toasting at once?
Oh, man.
That you need all three.
Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to make bagel bites, but then you also want some garlic toast. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. But that's my newest. Why did I keep this? It's only been 2 days, so I haven't really decided what's going to happen. But I have a feeling that it's going to stay in that cupboard for maybe the better part of a year before I make a decision.
Yeah. How often can you see it? Like, are you just going to forget about it? Because
I mean, I think it's going to, like, right now it's at the edge of the cupboard in the island. And I think as the days go by, it'll go further and further back.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. And then I'll be like one day, oh, I have this toaster that I've never used. And then I'll give it away. Or sell it on my Poshmark. Are you allowed to sell toasters on your Poshmark?
I mean, I don't think they can stop you. I kind of want to go and steal.
That brings me joy.
I want to steal Rachel's hats.
Oh.
Not because they're good looking. Rachel's hats. But because I need more hats. All my hats that I use for my walks are like sun bleached. But I'm like.
Yeah. That's another thing you need to do is like set up a seafood day with Rachel. I'll just come hang out. Seafood, but I'll just come watch.
Thank you. Yeah, that's all you got to do. You can get
– you're allowed to order seafood restaurants get French fries. Exactly. They have good fries at like oyster places.
Yeah. They have – I'm sure that most places will have other things for you to nibble on. We'll allow that.
I'll have a glass of water. Whatever. I just want to come hang out. She was so fun.
She's very funny. She's a silly little goose, and she makes me laugh very hard. She's a very funny improviser. That's how I know her. And she's also a really good actress. So, and just a great, most importantly, a great human.
Most importantly, a seafood enthusiast, I'd say.
Okay. You know, I would say that. She's going to help me find some good oyster places in LA.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold her to that. I haven't forgotten.
No, neither have I, and I don't even eat oysters. She did offer on the air, so we know it's real.
Exactly. She was being recorded, and she knew it. Not even secretly recorded. She knew what she was signing up for.
Yeah. I mean, this season was so fun. I can't wait for season 4, which, I mean.
I guess we got to go start planning.
We have to go find new guests, because the way we did it this season, is we really, like, took this seriously and, like, planned out our guest list.
We planned things. I watched like YouTube videos on Photoshop so I could make better graphics for our Instagram.
Yeah, the graphics are excellent. And our reel. I hope our people liked our reel.
I hope so too. We worked hard on that. We had a work day.
We had a work day.
We had a whole work day. We made a reel. We feel like real Gen Zers.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We should put it on TikTok.
Oh, man. If I ever figure out how to make do a TikTok, we can do that. If there's anybody who's a Gen Z and wants to help me with that, hit me up.
They're going to be calling.
Oh my God. My phone is going to be ringing off the hook.
I bet that Gen Zers don't even know off the hook means.
I know. They're like, what does that mean? Do you mean your phone is on silent? It is on vibrate? I do not understand.
Anyways, we'll figure it out.
This
has been the best.
We've done a good job. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of the self-reflection we've done and also avoided doing. We'll get around to it. We're just, you know, we're in it for the long game. We're in this for a while. You know,
guys, buy my stuff on Poshmark. Buy Courtney's stuff on Depop. This is all just a big scam to get you to buy our stuff.
I know. This whole time, we've just been slowly talking about our stuff to make you realize, oh, I really need a purple velvet wintry reformation dress this summer.
Available on Depop.
Available now on Depop. Did you want a wedding dress? Let me know. I know many of you want a wedding dress from 2009.
And we'll start the auction for Courtney's stats notebook at $200. And so if you want it,
$200,000. This is
$200,000.
This is a part of me.
If you want it, DM us. All proceeds go to Courtney.
they go to my well-being.
Straight to her pocket where she can do math about it.
I'll do math about the money you send me. Exactly. Yeah,
it'll be great.
Jackie, thank you for being my co-host.
Thank you for being my co-host. This has been so fun.
It's been so fun. And thank you so much, listeners, for being here with us on this journey. We hope that your closet goals are achievable. Yeah. we believe in you. Yeah. You know, obviously let us know if you have anything that you're not sure why you kept and if you should keep it. You can find us on Instagram at why did I keep this? Or you can email us your fun stories at whydidikeepthispodcast@gmail.com. But I'd like to take a second to obviously thank our producer, Akshay, who was kind enough to get our podcast into the world and also to come onto our podcast and let us interrogate him. And a big thank you to Genevieve Vincent, the genius behind our beautiful theme music that we love and are so proud of.
And thanks again to all our guests this season. It was truly the most fun we've had, and we are so grateful for your time and your stories.
And we're looking forward to hearing from you and telling you stories in season 4.
Bye.
Bye.